Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 150. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
This is Aaron.
And this is take two. All
right. Wow, now you're really like loud.
Yeah, I got real loud there, didn't I?
Mine is still kind of like not loud.
You're there. Hold on.
Can you hear me, people?
Can you hear Aaron?
Hello. Hey, that looks
there
better.
There you go.
Hey, okay.
Now you're registering on the Richter scale.
Good.
Dun, dun, dun. On the Richter scale. Wasn't that a wrestler, Richter?
I don't remember.
I mean, it was an X-Man, and they seemed to like to, like, the WWE seemed to like to steal X-Men character names as their wrestlers.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, you remember Magneto used to wrestle Hulk Hogan all the time.
Yeah, I remember Junkyard Dog when he joined the
Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
I was going to say, well, didn't he join the Hellfire Club?
Yeah.
He was the White King for a while.
Mm.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, if he was the Black King, that'd be racist.
It would be racist, right.
So. Anyway,
I remember when Jesse the Body Ventura formed his own evil mutant group.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right, Aaron.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello.
As usual, it's Aaron season.
Yep.
So
it's Aaron season. Every June,
the ratings go up. Yeah, do you watch Atlanta by chance on FX?
I do not. No. So I know of it though.
Season two was called Robin season.
Okay.
And in the first episode, they talked about how it was Robin season in Atlanta, where people were just breaking into houses and stuff.
Oh, like,
oh,
got,
like
it
Robin,
got hot.
Not yeah. Like,
oh yeah, no,
okay.
Not Robin.
See, I thought you meant
like
the bird.
No,
okay,
Robin.
Yeah,
hold on. I have to put the white G on there for
which could have been Robin
white
season.
G. Yeah. When did we get racist?
We're not.
Well, Robbie
the
robot
Robin
will show up
season.
In any second. Now.
You got to be like the Robin.
The
season.
Robin. Ben,
not
Rob
the
Ben.
Robin season. Oh, look at the robins flying
look, it's
by.
Beautiful orange plumage.
Yes.
Now we're a aviary. bird watching podcast. That's what we should pivot to is bird watching.
I will kill you.
So you have to describe all the birds to your listeners. That
exactly.
You,
last night.
You can't. Your whole podcast is based on sight.
So you're probably the closest to city at this point.
Yeah.
You're the most rural.
Yeah.
I'm rural city.
Yeah.
So last night I'm watching the rabbits in the back that are running around in the now construction area behind my house. And I told her, I said, I'm watching the rabbits. And she goes, oh, yeah? She goes, well, how many are out there? I said, three. I said, you know why I'm watching them? And she goes, no. I said, because if the world falls apart tomorrow, those are the first three meals I have.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There.
So I showed the kid a video. There was this little bunny run around.
Mm-hmm.
Cat gets the bunny, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bunny escapes from the cat.
Yep.
Hawk gets the bunny.
Mm-hmm.
No more bunny. And like, I was like,
I've seen that happen in my backyard too, where the hawk comes down and
But I was like, oh, I should not have shown
I told
that.
My neighbors that are,
hey, honey, look at this. I want to scar you for the rest
the
of your life.
The circle of life.
Anywho.
Literally, it is a circle. He escaped one and got caught by the other.
Yep. All right. So this is take two. So you're here to promote things.
Yes.
And just talk about general geekery.
As
you're
always.
You're here to sell things.
I am.
Well, you're here to sell things too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were just hanging out over the weekend and
At the Jim and Dan comic and toy show.
Is it comic and toy? Because I've been saying toy and comic.
It's comic and they're comic first.
Okay.
Yeah.
The emphasis is comic books.
Comics.
Yeah. But you know, because
they like the funny pages.
But
there
we
was
went
a
to
lot
the
of comic book
to actually buy comics. So,
no comment.
I went through. I couldn't find anything I really needed at the show. So,
yeah, no comment.
Although Aaron fed my habit.
Yeah.
So, all your Vitruvians.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm his dealer.
I think I'm up to 8 now.
Nice.
Did you buy any of the what's the other one? The animal.
The Animal Wars of the Kingdom.
No, I did not buy the knockoff Thundercats.
We call them AWOKs.
But they're the weapons work with the hacks, right?
Yeah, weapons and armor and the heads pop off, the arms, everything. Nice. Yeah. Okay. They were actually sculpted by boss fight as well.
Okay.
So and they did that on purpose.
See, now,
to
now
kind
he's gonna
of,
buy. He's like, oh,
right,
okay. They, now I have. No, no. Now no, I can no, justify buying the Thundercats.
You can pop the head off, and you can have a werewolf wizard.
I just want to put Lion-O's like armor on the White King or something.
You
like
could do
that.
Yeah.
But, the White King is awesome.
Yes.
And then the Gargoyle. She looks like
Demona.
Demona, thank you from Gargoyles. Yeah. I kept calling her Desdemona.
That's which, from the Man of La Mancha.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that one.
Anywho.
Sorry, I know musicals.
I know.
Too.
I know.
He knows.
I have
musicals.
A very, I have a very broad thing going on there.
He's very eclectic.
I am. I said that the other day with the toy thing.
So, all right.
Yeah, I bought BioShock figures.
Yeah,
the two Patriots.
Okay,
that they did the motorized Patriots, and one of the people in our thread was like, "Johnny will buy anything," and I'm like, "I am a very eclectic collector."
You're an eclectic.
And then somebody else told me that I've gone too far now because I bought BioShock. I'm like, no, it's because they're Patriots. I said, I'm a Patriot. They're Patriots.
It was cool. It was Ben Franklin and George Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, they were
I've
awesome
seen those.
Looking
yeah,
figures.
Yeah.
And you got a great deal on them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Why don't you pitch your thing at the beginning where people are might still be listening?
It does say.
Six
for,
minutes.
For the three of you that are still listening.
Hey, all of Poland is listening, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not going to come to the Ohio.
That would be totally
that
awesome
be
if
awesome.
Like people from
hey,
Poland showed up.
Poland contingent, you can stay at Johnny's house.
No, no. stay at the hotel. That way it, you know.
Yeah,
it helps everyone. Yeah,
stay
in
the Ohio Twin comic block.
Yeah, which I think is actually full right now. We only got like
two rooms.
Ten rooms. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We got 10 rooms, and I think.
Oh, wow. You did?
I know. Yeah.
Now,
believe
do
it
you
or
guys
not.
Stay there over
there? I do not. No, it's not worth $100.
We should do it. We should just do it.
Why
just...
we said that and have a pool party the night before?
Tear that place
know?
Up.
Yeah. Well, anyways, these two guys dragged me here to promote the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, which is happening for the fifth year. On July 22nd at the Dayton Fairborn Holiday Inn right across the street from Wright State University. Is that good? Can I go home now?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really had to twist your arm. I'm like, man, you should come on. You haven't been on in a while. Yeah, I should.
I'm bored. So. I don't you know.
I'm not doing anything. I have 3 weeks in between toy shows.
Exactly.
Sure,
I've got, well,
is
actually.
Is it really 3 weeks?
I have 15 days until JoeCon. Until I leave for JoeCon, which is...
Do you have the van packed already?
No. I just unloaded the vans today from the last... From 2 days ago, the weekend. But, like, arguably our biggest show of the year, and I'm 15 days out. And, like,
so how much are you paying to help load the van?
I don't pay.
Action figures.
Action figures, right.
He
yeah.
trades.
Exactly.
Ask
he
him.
Hey,
he doesn't
you know,
get paid
it's old. It's old. It's old school, you know?
But, yeah, so I kind of had, like, that mild freak out a little bit where it's like, oh, my God. And then I just didn't care.
Like JR? Oh, my God, King.
Oh, my God, yeah. But anyways, yeah, so that's where I'm at.
Cool. And is this the last JoeCon?
This
or?
Is. Okay. Yeah, this is Hasbro took their license away from them because they're trying to start up their own show called HasCon.
Right.
Which...
Is that where, like, they have Virgil from WWE show
I
up
wish.
And, like, just all the has-beens?
The has-beens? No.
Ooh, has-beens and has-gone.
No, it's
that took you a second, dude.
It's basically Hasbro pulling all their properties, you know, Star Wars, My Little Pony, Transformers,
right.
Nerf was there. And then they gave G.I. Joe, like, a six-foot table
did
in the back
go
corner. I
that?
Did not. I had a lot of friends who did.
I had a lot of people who went to that and said that it actually wasn't a bad show because, I guess, the people who work behind the scenes were there to actually talk to people.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm
there
like,
was a
well,
lot
that's
of,
cool.
Which
it's
was
like,
pretty cool because there... Yeah,
but there's nobody working on G.I. Joe, so...
No, right, yeah. There's. I mean, there's still, you know, there's still some of the guys, but they pretty much fired the team. 2 years ago, or about a year ago, I guess Mark Weber was the guy who was in charge of G.I. Joe, and they let him go.
Yeah.
You know, now he's working for some company that makes toy airplanes or something.
Oh, okay.
But like
okay.
remote control, like not
sure.
like just like stupid toys, but like legit
right.
remote control airplanes and stuff. But I know Daryl DePriest, who's the vice president of Hasbro, the boys division, or he's in charge of the boys division at Hasbro, is still there, and he's our number one, you know, fan.
Yeah,
he got into it because of G.I. Joe, and he's always, you know, the biggest supporter of it. It's just when the rest of Hasbro doesn't support it, it makes it tough.
Right.
So
did you watch come to the show?
Mm-hmm. You could
talk about Joe stuff.
I could.
Yeah.
Wait, G.I. Joe was last year for how it was made, right? Or the toys that made us, right? That
was yes.
Yeah, it was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say last year. It came out this year,
it was,
too.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, last season, but it was like six months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 2 weeks
ago. The last block.
The last
right.
block. Yeah.
Because that makes more sense. There's four episodes.
Yeah.
You know, four sides of a block. But, you know.
I wonder if they're going to do more.
To my knowledge, like from what I've heard, they
rumor
are planning
has it.
More.
Yeah.
These original eight of the toys that made or whatever it is were always planned. And now I think they're just...
They really planned a Star Trek episode?
Yeah.
Wow.
They wanted to showcase Star Trek collectors.
How effed up that is.
Yeah. But, you know, I've tried...
I haven't watched it yet.
I've tried...
But I'm just like, it is an effed up story.
The fact that, like, the way that people got the rights mm-hmm. to it and stuff is insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And just the manner of how every bad movie's had an action figure line. Every good movie has not had
it. You know, you guys said that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, that can't be true.
It's very
true. I came home and I Googled it. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with this franchise?
Literally, Star Trek II did not get a figure set until Art Asylum was doing
it.
Playmates.
Yeah.
Made the little 4.5-inch scale.
Yeah.
And then Art
Asylum.
But
I mean, an actual good action figure.
Watch yourself, man.
Some of the Playmates were good.
When those were first coming out in the 90s, those were phenomenal. Yeah. And then
the end of the line.
Then other toy lines started showcasing what you could do with toys.
Right.
And then they just kind of went, meh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I like that.
We'll make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures. Those are fine. Everybody buy those.
We'll make Star Trek Ninja Turtles.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. I'm surprised that didn't happen in the most current line, too.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a license anymore. They did decent figures. Like, I have some of those Playmates figures. But, like, Art Asylum, Diamond Select.
Well, yeah, when those came out.
Those are figures that are, like, comparable to Star Wars Black Series and Marvel Legends.
Mm-hmm. Aside from
they were beautiful.
Articulation, but they're, sculpt-wise, those you know, but then again, you try to go back and buy, like, the main seven from Next Generation.
Yeah.
They're all $100 plus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's, you're paying for quality.
Yeah.
And Johnny has, like, 14 of each.
I don't have any of those. I have all the Mirror Universe versions of the original Trek. Yep, including the exclusive Scotty.
Okay.
Scotty was exclusive, yeah.
I did not know that.
I have, like, some of the Enterprise figures, too, because those were easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were Toys R Us exclusives, weren't they?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm making things up.
I think the
it sounds good.
The worst part
good.
Of the Enterprise was there was the Andorian character, Shran.
Okay.
That was the hardest one to find. And then I finally found it, and I looked at it and went, really? This doesn't look like the character, but I bought it because I was like, that was the last
you
one I needed. Yeah.
You're like, this doesn't look anything like Jeffrey Combs.
Like, man.
Forget it.
Here's my $11.
Well, they even got the Suliban like kind of wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, they're losing the license of this figure line. They didn't even do all the regular cast members in their regular uniforms. Some of them were just in the space uniforms.
Weird.
Yeah. So. And we went on Star Trek toys. And
yeah, and who expected that wasn't in the script?
That is not
it
in the show notes.
It wasn't expected in the toys that made us either.
Yeah.
Next, we're talking about Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a big enough thing to be like...
In Japan,
internationally.
But apparently
it was
here, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
California,
But, I mean, I remember in the 80s when those were everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you could... Just weird stuff, like knickknacks.
Yep.
Because Angel was saying there was a Hello Kitty store at their mall.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she's from California.
But, you know, it's funny. I remember my roommate, when his fiance was living with us before I moved out, she found all her Hello Kitty stuff and was, like, going through it. And we just started looking on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the old Trapper Keepers and stuff are just insane
money.
Yeah. But I mean, that's any collectible. That's, you know, this day and age. And so we, of course, put it all on eBay. And
you really shouldn't sleep with your roommate's fiance and I have to leave in the dead of night.
Make
I like how you said move out.
Before
but, you
I
know.
Move. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Jack and Heather.
If they're listening.
They're not.
They're not.
No.
Wow. They saw Aaron was on in there.
Thank you, Poland, for listening.
They've listened to every other episode except for when Aaron's
right,
on.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they just they see his name pop up in the credits and they just
oh, the
shake
Polish?
Their fist. No,
my old
roommate.
Oh, roommates.
Jack.
Yeah. He wouldn't have slept with her.
I would have still married
can't
her.
Can't listen to his voice.
That got weird fast.
That got really weird fast. I apologize.
You don't apologize. No. So,
all right. So you have the toy show coming
yes.
up. You've got JoeCon coming up. How many shows are you doing this year?
This year we have on the schedule 28 toy shows for this
wow.
year.
Wow.
But that always changes. We usually, like last year we had 33, I think is where I was at by the end of the year. And I'm hoping to get a few more in.
Okay.
I mean, depending cool. on what pops up or, you know, random things and if weekends work out and stuff like that.
The so. Electric's got to stay on your house.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I like money.
I mean, this is your business. This
yes.
is your business. So it's like you have to.
And I hate weekends off. I can't. I get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like okay. this weekend I've got off, yet I'm still going to drive down to Cincinnati to Pete's Robot Convention.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just because I have
sure,
to.
Yeah.
I want to go. I've got to see all my friends.
Right.
You know, and.
So you know I'm going to bleep that, right? Because Pete doesn't pay for advertising. So I'm going to go down to.
Bleep's Robot beep. Convention?
No, no.
Bleep's Robot Convention even sounds better.
No, I'm just going to beep Pete's out the whole name.
Name to Bleep's Robot Convention.
I'm just going to beep out the name of the whole thing
that's
you're doing over
perfect.
There.
That's no, perfect.
It'll care, just be. Though. You'll just hear a.
There you go. I'm going to go down to. So. All right.
Are you going both days? Are you
no,
going,
no,
no,
just
you're going to go Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Whatever the general.
Yeah, I have
Sunday
to
is.
Work. I was yeah. like, yeah.
So we're recording this on Tuesday the 5th, and Star Wars Celebration tickets went on sale today. Are you going to try and have
yes.
a table like to sell at?
We the plan is we'd like to. I know
okay.
that stuff. I know the tickets went on sale. I did not actually see if registration for vendors went on sale today or not.
I did not see that.
I know hotels
I
did, too.
Yeah.
And they are almost full. Like, when I hopped on the hotel
wow.
thing this
yeah.
afternoon after I got the email, that all but, like, three of them were available.
Yeah.
And then the ones that were available weren't even available for those days.
Right.
Like, it's insane. Yeah.
Wow.
Airbnb, man.
Yeah. That's the thing. You're going to have to start looking for other options. So. But, yeah, because apparently, like, you know, when they announced it.
RVs. Just RVs parked up and down the street.
No, yeah, when they announced kidding. The dates, of course, all the crazy Star Wars fans just went ahead and bought hotels.
Yeah, just whatever hotel.
Just basically
no
up.
Deals.
No, yeah. They're like, to hell with the celebration yeah. deal. We're just going to go ahead and get our room.
I just want to be downtown.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, that's always the plan is to be vendors this year just because we've got enough inventory. But it's weird because, yeah, it's like, man, there's nowhere to stay. There's nowhere to this. So, we're rethinking it, and like I said, I
yeah.
don't know if dealer registration has gone live yet.
No idea.
And I could be mistaken. It could have gone live a month ago, and I don't
sure.
know. But
it's sold out.
Probably. Who knows?
So, I imagine it would sell out pretty quick for dealers.
Yeah.
You've never set up at a celebration.
Not
though,
a celebration.
Right?
Okay. No,
You've done BotCons. You've done JoeCons.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You ever done Wizard Worlds?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
We don't really do Wizard Worlds.
They're just expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not really geared towards vendors anymore. I mean,
right,
they still
yeah.
have vendors, but they are a pop con show. I mean, they aren't about con. They're basically what
right.
San Diego is turning into,
yeah.
which is a big issue, is they aren't about the comics and the toys. And they
which
just,
luckily they don't have Comic-Con in
right.
their title.
They, right.
Like, San Diego still uses
Comic-Con,
yep. and it's like, you should just call it Entertainment Con at
yeah.
this point.
Interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
they just worry about the celebrities and they want to get people in the door to buy autographs. Yeah.
Would you be considered an exhibitor or a vendor?
I guess I'd be a vendor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's checking as we're
I'm
chatting.
Just looking,
I would assume an exhibitor is somebody like Gentle Giant or somebody like that
who would
exhibit their product, and I just resale.
Well, let's talk about your show.
Okay.
You've got a guest this year.
For the first time, we've had guests in the past, but no one.
It's a secondary guest because we're the main guests.
Oh.
As always, infamous podcast will be there.
So people can walk by and ignore our booth again.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. Hey, you want to be on a, come here.
Who wants a sticker?
Who wants to be on
a, Hey, little boy, come over here. We're going to record you.
So yeah, that was creepy when you did.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
It didn't make the.
I had other weird things happen at that show.
The stickers. I have new stickers this year too.
They'll stick on fabric this year.
I'll say Mary Mercenary and Joe Colton will both be there again. So they like stickers.
Dressed only in Infamous Podcast stickers.
Yeah. Jesus.
Well, that could get interesting.
Make little bikinis out of them for them.
But so. Wes is wearing the same thing. So
well, we'll make a loincloth.
Yeah, just a little.
And but we got to cover up the NERPs on them. Yeah. So.
Oh boy.
I wanted to feel included.
Yeah.
So.
So anyways, yes.
So I have to take an uncomfortable picture with him this year.
Yes.
But you got to be like
come
down,
here, put your ass out.
You got to be down at butt level and like be pointing at like, what?
Yeah. So as long as there's somebody to help me get up.
Well, he will when he cuts one right in your face.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. So,
so a real guest this year.
A real guest. We have Master Daniel Pacina, who was... he was Johnny Cage, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Reptile, Noob Saibot, Smoke, and I think that's it. In Mortal Kombat's 1 and 2, in the original arcade games, when they did the motion capture.
I was hoping you were
going to
do the voice, like, just, you know, like, Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage. Finish him. Friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we've got him coming and... he is actually really, really cool. Like, when I got to sit down and meet with him back in March, and we kind of got all this stuff squared away, he just was really down-to-earth and super fun. And somebody like me who grew up in the 90s, who spent way too much money on Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 in the local arcade games, it's kind of like, I mean, for most people, you mention it, and they're kind of like, oh, wow, okay, that's weird. But you tell anyone between the age of, like, 30 to 40.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, I remember that. Yeah. Like, because we would read magazines with these guys showing how they made Mortal Kombat.
Right.
And it's like, we knew, you know, Master Daniel Pacina, who was, he was in every comic because he was also a co-creator in it, which I didn't know this until kind of doing research on the man after we'd already booked him, that when they were making Mortal Kombat, it was basically made in like a sound studio or a garage.
Huh. Right. Yeah.
Where it's just a group of guys got together and started filming this and were coming up with ideas and coming up with characters on the fly.
Yeah.
Like coming up with moves. Like, you know, they were saying that the split punch move was basically made up on the spot.
Nice.
Just to give them, well, let's give them another move. Okay. Yeah. What are you thinking? Huh. Let's do this.
They had just watched Bloodsport.
Right. Yeah. Well, originally, this is kind of a cool thing. They wanted Van Damme for this video game, the original Mortal Kombat, to play not Van Damme and not Johnny Cage, but their own version of it. And, this was before he kickboxer and before Bloodsport, before all that stuff really made him famous. So they were working on this, and by the time they were ready for Van Damme, he had done these two movies, and his career was actually skyrocketing, you know, in the 90s. And he wanted real money, which is something they did not have. Because, like I said, this was made...
And they didn't know what it was going to become.
Right.
Yeah.
So they kind of came up with the character of Johnny Cage based on him as a, a movie star and just louder than life and, you know... Which is kind of, that's how the Johnny Cage character came about, was they were like, well, let's make our version of Van Damme, yet make him just this pompous celebrity.
Yeah.
And
so like Van Damme.
Just like Van Damme, right, exactly. And that's kind of how the Johnny Cage thing came about. And like I said, Master Pacino was the one who played it. And that's how they were coming up with, well, the split punch, let's do that because he does the splits and, you know... And yeah, I mean, you look at the original Mortal Kombat, and Johnny Cage looks straight up like out of Bloodsport, like Van Damme out of Bloodsport. Same bike shorts and the little colored sash and stuff. Yeah. So,
Well, that one video you posted of the exposition where they like came in and actually did all the stuff live.
Yeah.
I was like, that's amazing. I'm like, you're watching it going, I used to do that move.
Yep. Yeah.
And then did he like film a video for you recently?
Not for us, but he's filming videos all the time. And he's, you know, like the one we just posted either yesterday or the day before was him basically just swinging the rope dart around,
yeah,
which was
get over here. Really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scorpions, get over here.
Get over here.
And we're lucky enough that because we have a panel room and a lot of space, he'll be doing a demo for us during the day. We haven't really picked the hour because that's going to be up to him. I'm guessing later on, like probably 2 or 3 in the afternoon, that he'll get up on stage and show us how to do the rope dart, how to do different moves, how to do, you know, talk about his
with
experience.
The Nerf version of the rope dart.
Right, I don't know, man. He like
the dart version.
When he was doing it towards the camera, I'm like, dude, I will stand on the other side of that room and let him throw that at me.
So now you said you have to call him master, right? Or he'll correct you?
It was kind of a. Yeah. I mean, the man's earned it. I'll call him master.
Oh, yeah.
But it was one of those instances when I first met him. You know, it was at a West Virginia convention, a comic book convention in West Virginia, and he was a guest at it. And I'd gone up and, or his manager was at our booth just kind of talking. And I was like, oh, how do we get, you know, Daniel Pacina to a convention? And he goes, Master Daniel Pacina. And I was like, oh, so Master Daniel Pacina didn't correct me. His manager did.
Nice.
But it was something where I took note that I was like, every time I say this guy's name now, I'm going to add master to it because he's like a quadruple million degree black belt.
Right.
And I mean, from what I've seen in video games, he can punch your head off.
I was going to say, he can pull your spine out of your back and hold it there for you and then friendship you.
Yeah.
So as long as master comes first, right? It's like, hey, Master Danny P, what's happening, bro?
I would assume so, but let's see.
Master P is a totally different thing.
No, Master Danny P.
Danny P.
Danny P in the house.
Master Pacina.
We gotta get him on. We'll have to interview him.
You could. I mean, I'm sure he probably would. He's very down to earth.
Well, I mean, we're in with the show promoter. So
yeah,
I'm assuming.
I know a guy.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah.
So maybe Sarah can make that happen for me. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
So.
Wow. We know
somebody
who's running the show.
Talk to the boss. So,
we know who's in charge.
Aaron's like, I'm just gonna be running around with my head cut off. So
like
I don't
every
know
year,
gonna, yeah,
now,
exactly.
Hiding from everyone who.
All right, we're gonna read off the tickets. We'll pull 10 of them out and see which one hits.
The legendary ticket gets better every time.
Is the What's on Joe Mind guys gonna be there again?
I haven't heard from Gary or Mike yet. Because last year around this time, they were just randomly were like, hey, we're coming to your show. And I'm like, I'll find you a table.
You know? Nice. We made our own little podcast.
Right, yeah.
Which was fun. And so you need to find another podcast that we get along with.
Okay.
Well, I know there aren't many.
I know
so.
we've got Basement Fodder there, but I know you guys fight them on the weekends for fun. So
we do?
I don't know. I'm making this
up. I was going to say, is that in an alley somewhere down in Dayton?
that's the other Infamous podcast.
Yes. Oh.
So.
But you got
the infamous fodder
side. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
I'm gonna blow a knee out, saying, "Show me how to do this."
Yeah. Oh man! But
the
yeah,
first
like,
time that an ambulance will show up at your show will be me
worth
getting
it.
Hurt.
Worth it.
That would be
get
awesome.
Pictures of this.
Best day ever.
I didn't know a bone could come out of the skin like that.
Well, and speaking of pictures, Master Daniel Pacina, he will be there for photos all day long.
Cool.
You can either have a photo as him as Johnny Cage, where he basically puts sunglasses on.
Nice.
Or as Scorpion and Sub-Zero, where he wears the costumes.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if I want Noob Saibot?
I don't know if he's got that.
No,
he's
probably not.
Well, we'll just, like, get a photo.
It'd be cool
and then
if
just
he had,
Photoshop
like, every single one of the ninjas.
Yeah.
Because I would say, can I take a picture of you with each one standing in a different position in the room and then just Photoshop them all together? That would be cool.
When I met him, like I said, when I first met him in West Virginia, and after we'd already worked everything out, I was like, oh, I want to get a photo with you. And it was Sub-Zero is always my favorite character.
Yeah.
So I was like, you got to get the Sub-Zero. And we were right by the thermostat. So I was like, pretend you're turning it down, and I'll pretend I'm real cold. And that's where we were at.
That'll be this year's Christmas card?
Yeah. I'm just like, oh.
That's really funny. Really, really funny. All right, so we're excited to be part of your show again, obviously. We're excited for the show, and, you know, we'll obviously be plugging it between now and July 22nd.
We appreciate it, yeah. We're like that the guerrilla marketing campaign of toy and comic shows. We work on a very limited budget based on. I mean, because
sure,
name one other show where they only charge $2 to get in. Like there isn't.
Yeah,
one.
You know, and I yelled at you about this last.
I know.
I feel like I need to yell at you again about it, but
can't think of anybody.
Yeah.
So
this year's 5 years, $5.
Five for five.
Exactly.
And then you do all the door prizes.
For every $5.
Give away, like, more stuff.
Oh, yeah. The door prizes, yeah. We give away some crazy stuff at these shows.
Oh, speaking of door prizes, that Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
So I tweeted that picture of Brandon Montclair, and he goes, hey, that's my signature.
See? Authentic.
So it was. Because I was like,
he even named the
your...
show
yeah.
that it was from.
I was like, is this really your signature? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, check it out.
So
yeah, he named the show because... Who was on it? One of them that was
it
on
was
it
Natasha,
was she was
Natasha and or I
Amy's not, Amy's on there.
Amy and, Amy's not on the book anymore,
but her name's
she
on
does
that
the covers
right?
Now,
yeah,
so.
But okay. She signed it. But one of the other, I think the anchor,
yeah,
she it was like she was a special guest at that show.
Oh,
so
wow,
he was
okay.
Like telling him which show
yeah,
it was because
it was
she was
Comic-Con
a special guest.
Okay. So
yeah, there you go.
But yeah, it was just funny. It's like because we had him on the show. We've had him on the show before.
Okay,
so.
And now that book's getting really popular.
Good. It's an awesome book.
Yeah. Well, so, there's been talk of a TV show.
I did not, but I know a lot of people are taking the new Jurassic Park Tyrannosaurus Rex and painting
it
red. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
that's what Boss Fights needs to do next is a dinosaur line.
Like a caveman dinosaur line?
Where like the knights can ride the dinosaurs, not even
well,
cavemen,
there's a there's another, like an independent toy company, and I, for the life of me, I don't know what it is, but they just made a bunch of dinosaurs.
Ooh.
And they are scaled. They're 6-inch scaled, but they're great for 4-inch figures to ride.
Nice.
And I'm blanking on what it's called, so that's not going to help.
That'll
anyone.
Be your next
or half
line
that
you'll be selling.
Yeah.
Put the 6-inch Black Series Tarkin on a 6-inch dinosaur.
Nice.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Just kind of.
Yeah,
ride me around, dinosaur.
Now that's what you buy the T-Rex from the Jurassic World line for. That thing is just like, I'm like, I could imagine the photos that some people will do when they buy that stormtroopers getting attacked by a dinosaur.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just like,
missing their shots badly.
Well, you know.
So.
Yep, as they do.
All right, so you're here. We should talk about some geeky stuff. Since
all right,
you're here.
Lay it on me.
Lay it on him.
I'm a geek.
Lay it on him.
God, geek.
I know. Nerd.
Johnny called me a nerd like 3 times. Jim
you
and
are.
Dan.
Because
you totally
like, Johnny's
like,
right.
It was the walking the through the hallway cosplayer dressed as Thor with an eye patch, but he was holding the
old hammer.
Stonebreaker.
Stonebreaker.
Or did he have one? Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker.
I was like, man, that's
complain about the eye patch, and I'm like, nerd.
I said it sarcastically, but it was funny. It's
just
like,
literally, then, it slipped out, nerd.
And then there was something else, and he just looked at me and goes,
nerd.
All right, Lost in Space, Netflix.
Yeah.
Episode not sponsored by Netflix, mind you, but
they're always sponsored by Netflix.
We love Netflix. So you watched it, and I watched
I checked
it.
Out, yeah.
It's an unpaid sponsorship.
It is. So it's more like stalking at this point. Like,
yeah,
it's a light stalking.
I just would like to get an email going, you get a free year. You get
free
a free year.
Just give me a free month.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
I'll take a free year.
So
I'm going to be a little bit more greedy. So I'll take greedy. A free year.
All right. Did you enjoy Lost in Space?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I know it's getting a lot of hate. There's
is
a lot
it?
Of. Yeah.
I don't understand the hate. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who don't like it.
Is it because Parker Posey?
She was actually the reason why I did not care for, like, I did not like her character.
Oh, real quick, spoiler
okay.
warning. We're gonna, there's just some things that we have to spoil.
They got lost in space.
So. All right.
But they really didn't. So, they were on a planet the whole time.
Right. So it should have been called Prelude
to Lost in Space.
Ah, there
and
you
go. And
then
the second season could be Lost in Space. And then the third season could be called Found in Space.
Yeah. Yeah. Netflix wouldn't do that.
No.
I really like Toby Bell as John Robinson.
Yeah, that's the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved him in Black Sails.
Yeah. I haven't watched Black Sails
okay.
yet, and it's on Hulu, and I totally need to watch
it. And
it
was one of those things where it wasn't until like the third episode where I'm like, oh God, that's the captain from Black Sails, and now I love this character.
So he was the bad guy and the Bond villain with Halle Berry.
Really?
With
Die Another Day.
The Die Another Day. Yeah, when he's the one who Pierce Brosnan does the sword fight with through the fencing gym.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's him. So that's what I've liked him ever since then, because I thought he was a pretty cool Bond villain.
And he's the son of Professor McGonagall. Did you know that?
In real life?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's his mom. Yeah.
Maggie Smith?
Yeah, Maggie Smith's his mom.
Or the Dowager, whatever it's called.
Abbey. Yeah, the Downton Abbey thing.
Downtown Abbey.
I want to see that show.
Anyway, I liked him. And then what was the actress's name who was Mrs. Robinson?
I actually, because it was killing me when I watched the show, because I'd seen her before.
She's on House of Cards,
and I had to IMDb it. Okay. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is where I've seen her. But
Molly Parker. Thank you. Yep. She's awesome on House of Cards, and I really liked her, because she gave like zero fucks about anything other than science.
Toby Stevens, not Toby Bell.
Thank you.
That's why I was like, Tobin Bell is the guy from Saw. But I was going to let you, I was letting that ride.
That's all right. Yeah, if I'm wrong, you just say, hey, dude.
But
maybe
he's right. Maybe he's.
I really liked her, but my favorite character was Penny, the little daughter. Yeah.
Portrayed by Mina Sundwall.
Because she was like, she was snarky, she was capable. She was, you know, the one dude lied to her, and then he was like, hey, what do you think? She's like, no, beat it. Like, you know, they didn't do that trope, like, oh, you lied and betrayed me, but I forgive you. She was like, get out of here. Yeah.
As a person who's watched the original Lost in Space I watched a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I liked the role reversals they did of the adults, because John is doing the Don West role, because Don West was the military guy. In the original series, Don West was the military guy.
Right.
And, in the movie.
With Matt LeBlanc.
1998. Yeah. Awesome.
And then I just rewatched it.
Maureen was doing so the John role.
Yeah.
And then, it was that thing where they just threw Don West in there as kind of the guy that can get anything.
Yeah.
The pilot, which I
liked. He was Red from Shawshank.
Like, yeah. I liked his role, and the whole, like, his whole backstory with the chicken was fun.
Yeah.
Debbie. You know, always worried about the chicken.
Debbie was my third favorite character. Yeah.
The chicken was your third favorite.
So when this first came out, or where they first talked about it, and they showed the kid playing Will, I was kind of like, man, I wish they would have aged Will up.
That was my issue.
But that kid killed it as
well. He did really well. And, like, his interactions with Robot and stuff were cool. I liked what they did with the robot.
I liked the kids were more mature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't always in peril.
That was my issue.
Like, they were saving people instead of being in peril. They were like.
And the first episode where the little girl got stuck in the ice. And I'm like, if I'm going to watch a whole season of just kids in trouble.
Yeah.
And people figure out, I'm like, I can't do this.
Right.
But luckily they didn't really do that. And then, like you said, then it turned out the kids turned out to be pretty capable.
Yeah, I mean, when the kids go walking in the forest, like, you're like, oh, this is going to be really
exactly.
This is really going to be boring. This is going to be boring, and they're going to get trapped or get in trouble.
Right.
And it was like, no, it was showing the relationship of those three without their parents around, how their dynamic worked.
Works, yep.
And then their dynamic with the robot was like, a key element there where it was like, and then what happens to them later on in the series, it's like that walk actually was the most constructive thing that happened in the whole show.
They needed
And then Judy was really interesting because it was an African-American actress who played her, and it turned out like she, like, it's like, did they adopt her or what? No, it was from a previous relationship.
Yeah, the Maureen's daughter, but John had adopted her.
Right. And then, like, the
first thing. Because I was curious how that worked out in the beginning first.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I assumed adopted.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
But then when they threw in the whole previous relationship, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, they're taking that route.
But I liked when it was her and Don talking at one point, and she's like, oh, I'm just like my dad. And she's talking about John because she's exactly like John.
Yeah.
Like, bullheaded and headstrong and brave and, you know, gonna do whatever's right no matter what to a point.
Yeah.
You know?
And Don was kind of like, how is he your dad?
Yeah.
That's what he
It's literally like he just comes out and says, how is he your dad? And she goes, oh, I have a dad from a previous relationship, but it's like John adopted me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Totally makes sense now.
Yeah.
But well, I like the strife between, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson there.
Right.
And,
well, I liked, one of my favorite things about it was finding out that Mrs. Robinson isn't so clean cut.
Right.
Right.
Because, you know, Will didn't make the cut right. for this trip. Yeah. And she did something.
She pulled strings.
She pulled some yeah. strings to get him illegally to get him to go or yeah. else they wouldn't have gone, you know?
Yeah.
And that was kind of something where I'm like, oh, what are you doing, lady?
Yeah, it's like she's the leader of the team, yeah. which, you know, in every other portrayal, it was John that was right. the leader of the team. So she's the leader of the team. She's the genius. John's the military guy.
Who would and, shoot first and ask questions
yeah,
later.
But. Yeah, it's like, and literally I was like, I like this. I like that they changed it too. Around, yeah. too. And I'm like, you know, it didn't well, feel mean, like a lot of the stuff.
But it also, you look at, you watch some of the older Lost in Space episodes, oh, yeah. and it's dated.
Oh, yeah.
The women
definitely.
Always stayed back, and they yep. were
just stay,
crushing
just
rocks
stay at the,
or doing
stay
whatever
at the wagons,
the,
ladies.
In the
stay
kitchen.
In crochet or
yeah,
whatever. It's like,
and
no
Will
one.
Was always getting in trouble
always
with Dr.
Trouble,
Smith.
Yep.
And it's like, Dr. Smith was causing the trouble right. in this. And that, you know, I liked that they had her play that role, that Parker Posey play that role, because that role needed somebody who was kind of smarmy, and that's the way I feel Parker
manic.
Posey is.
I think the manic nature of the way she did yeah. Dr. Smith was interesting, and I like the fact that she's not Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
There was a Dr.
That
Smith.
Bill that Bill Mumy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
that, Bill Mumy had been Dr. Yeah. Smith.
Yeah, I just, something about her, I don't know. I've only ever liked her in one role that I've ever seen her in.
The House of Yes.
No, I've never seen that. Which
what,
was,
what, was
the,
what did you like her in?
Was it Dog Show?
Oh,
which
best,
was done,
best, best, in
oh, best,
in best
in show.
Show
best
yeah.
in show. Like, I loved her.
You said stuff. That on Sunday, but I still wanted to throw in House of Yes because that's my favorite
yeah.
Parker Posey.
But
see, I liked her in Dazed and Confused, and she plays the same role that she kind of played with
well,
Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
yeah.
Just,
she no, this role is the same way she played the stupid vampire in Blade Trinity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
But, and I told you before, like, when they said that she was Dr. Smith,
yeah,
I said, there's two ways she's going to do this. She's going to do this really cool, subtle, like, manic thing.
Yeah.
Or she's going to go full Posey.
Right.
And she went full Posey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was because of the twist of her
but
not
even
being...
with the twist, like,
yeah.
it was she... Like, on the Rewatchables podcast on The Ringer, they have, like, the Mark Ruffalo Spotlight Overacting Award.
Okay.
And, like,
okay.
she totally wins this. You know, the whole, they knew
yeah.
thing. But she totally overacted almost every scene she was in. And when the kid playing Will, who was a fine actor, right, is blowing her off the screen or the non-verbal robot is blowing her off the screen,
yeah.
that's a problem for me.
Which that was Brian Steele. I don't
yeah.
know if you know who that is. He's played the Predator.
I was going to
yeah,
say,
he's
yeah.
played the Predator
no, was,
a few times.
Yeah,
he's been in a lot of stuff,
he
and
was,
he's always in makeup or something,
I'm
and I'm like...
Think. He played Mr. Wink in Hellboy 2,
yeah,
I believe.
Wink and Crony,
and
then he played the T-600 in Terminator Salvation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he just did something else, not the robot, recently. That was something kind of like, oh, that guy, because he's... always in makeup and you never see his face.
Well, he was on Grimm for two episodes. Okay. He played the Golem and yeah. Volcanolis.
Okay.
Which you would know that since
yep.
you watched Grimm. He was in Anchorman 2 playing the Were Hyena and Minotaur.
Oh, that was during the
I've not
battle.
Seen Anchorman 2, but now I'm like...
You're not missing anything.
I feel like I've seen that movie, but I don't remember.
He played,
was,
he played two
was
of
when,
the
like,
Predators and Predators. He played the Berserker and the Falconer.
It was when the Ghost of Stonewall Jackson war happened.
Okay, so, yeah, and it just
God, that movie was so.
He's been in a bunch of the Underworld movies. Oh, he was in Blade Trinity also.
Oh, it's, okay.
He played Drake Creature, uncredited.
Okay.
And then he was Samael in Hellboy.
Okay. Yep.
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 But yeah, he's been in a lot of the Underworld. That's kind of like I think where he
that's his thing.
Really started out. Like his first role was Harry on Harry and the Hendersons, the TV series.
Oh, cool.
Oh, the TV. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, that wasn't, yeah, but the TV series.
But I mean, that was Kevin Peter Hall in the movie.
Right. Well, that's what, yeah.
And then ironically, he played Predators later on.
That's yeah. funny. All right. So the robot.
Yeah.
Did we like the change? Because I kind of dug it.
I was happy with it.
I
was, you know, it's funny. You watch this when you watch the first episode. That's what you're waiting for,
right?
And I went into this blind. Mm-hmm. I never watched the trailer. I didn't read anything.
The same thing.
It was basically like I saw people talking about it on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter, and I was like, oh well, I'll just have this on while I'm working or something.
They didn't spoil. Like in the trailer, they didn't spoil that he was an alien.
Okay.
Like they just show him and he says, "Danger, Will Robinson." And that, and you're like looking at him going, "Why does he look like that? Like who created him and why does he look like that?" And then when they show the crash ship and I'm like,
"Right, and the boy saves
I'm like,
Will,
he's an alien.
Will saves him and stuff." And I mean I dug what they did with the robot. Yeah. You know, and I loved the scene when
the design was awesome.
The design was cool, and I liked that. You know, the scene when one of the creatures showed up in the home base and wreaked havoc, and then Robot came in and saved him.
Yeah,
and, you know, it was just and every time it was that nostalgia, that Danger Will Robinson.
Yep.
Whenever that happened, you know, he'd look over at Will and say it, and then get ready to fight something.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
and that was the cool thing too, because when he would say it, right, it was okay. He's gone into Will protection mode.
Right,
and the way he like guarded the door when he made Will stay in the room.
He threw him in the room.
And like Penny was trying to get in.
And he wouldn't let anybody in.
No.
It was really, really neat to see that. I liked that the kids could tell the difference in like the facial expressions he was making.
When he turned red, they're like,
that's, well, where's the red?
Well, even like the
even
stars
like the
when
way
he went around in his face.
But, like,
yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference when that was happening. So.
Yep.
That was really neat.
No, I dug Robot. I thought that what, you know, making him an alien, that kind of was the reason everything went to hell in the first place.
Well, okay, so this is the big twist of the season, right? Is the humans have a star drive system that gets them where they need to go quicker.
But how'd they get it?
And it turns out that they stole it from this particular race.
Alien race.
Where they may, and we don't know exactly like how they stole it, because they may have shot something down or something crashed on
Earth. The Christmas star is what they called it.
Right.
So either they shot it down, or it crashed on Earth and they killed whoever was whoever showed up. But yeah, that was.
I'm sure that'll be like, you know, addressed in the next season.
Well, that's where they had the bad
robot show up in the end,
right?
And fought good robot, and that something was in an egg or something was left.
That was like whatever was giving them artificial gravity. And I don't know, because it tied into the ship's.
Like it literally was whatever the robot had on his ship.
Right.
They have it on their ship.
And that's what
now.
Made them go lost in space in the end.
Now, do you think, because, okay, so this happened at the end of the series when Maureen, is that Maureen Robinson?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When Maureen and Dr. Smith, or June, as the case may be, were at the alien ship, and when they brought the chariot back, it was stuck to the bottom of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, we have a couple options here for how that happened. Either it's sentient and it did it itself.
I thought they put it on the bottom.
Robot did it, or Maureen or Dr. Smith did it.
Yeah, I thought they put it on there.
But I didn't see that happen.
Yeah,
because I rewound and you know, so.
I don't even remember, but that's,
good.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I remember it being there. I remember it causing problems, but.
And I think the first one with it being sentient might be the reason, because it did. As they were falling into the black hole, or into the sun, whatever, the star, it integrated to their systems and jumped them to back to the robot homeworld. So,
which was
Danger. Which was
Like literally, that's his where he's from. Danger.
Danger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where are you from? Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger.
Okay, I don't see. It's just stormy.
Yeah.
That planet, though, you want to talk about like. The MacGuffin of all things, right?
Yeah.
Is that planet. Is nothing ever goes right there.
Genesis. It's Genesis.
No, it's like that movie 2012 with John Cusack where every 5 minutes there was a new peril.
Something new happened.
Yeah. It's like that's that planet. Yeah. It's like nothing. You can't just live there and be fine.
No.
Right.
It's either
at least they explain it, though, like with the black hole,
that
the singularity.
It got too close to the black hole every... Whatever.
Yeah,
so
the rotation of the planet got too close to the singularity.
And then it would get too hot where it wouldn't sustain life. But then there were like the monsters and
the things that lived in the cave.
The bats that pooped fuel. But that was, I mean, I understood that because they had the biofuel thing. Like,
right.
You know, it was like the thing on the back of the DeLorean.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting that. The pitch black bats gave him fuel.
Yeah, the pitch black bats, exactly.
But that's what I thought of when they like showed up. It's like, don't make any noise because they're going to, you know, hear you.
And Diesel's
like,
not here to save you.
Yeah, exactly.
No Riddick this time.
Yeah.
Will Robinson turned out to be Riddick this time.
But the show looked great.
Yeah.
You know, for the effects and everything.
Nothing
and
looked cheesy. It was well done from start to finish. And some of the storyline was a little like, oh, God. You know,
there were certain points where you're like, okay, where's this going? But like when it got to the end, I'm like, well, everything that happened paid off.
Yeah.
Like literally like every little flashback, every little thing, it was like somehow that fits into this whole story. And it does.
And then the guy that played Don West, he was on Bones. He was one of the intern doctors later on.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
He was from Cuba and he, escaped to the U.S.
Yeah. Ignacio Saracchio.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was great on both. I loved him in this. I loved his version of Don West.
I liked him too, like you said, the man who can get anything.
Yeah.
And that was...
And
who had been scamming his way back and forth.
Yeah, bringing whiskey and bringing stuff back and forth, which is kind of cool. Like when they announced that, like I was thinking this was the first trip.
This is the 24th.
That they had multiple back and forth to different.
This is the one where the alien finally caught them. Caught up with them.
And I dug the whole idea of the Jupiters being their houses when they got there. Like they would deconstruct them. And,
when it landed, it would turn into.
Yeah, when they showed it like a beehive inside of the bigger ship. Yeah, it was like, that's cool.
I thought everything they did was very pragmatic and practical and made sense.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't just like in the movie, right? When Jupiter 1 launches,
right.
And it's this big like dome shell thing that launches like the big pterodome
that looks
looking
like,
thing.
Looks like the original ship. Yeah.
And then it busts out and it's like the sleeker Jupiter 2. And it's like, that was the, like, I forgot how eye-rolly cringy.
That movie's
I seen
horrible.
It in a theater. I've seen that
in
horrible.
I saw it in the theater too.
I went to drive-in to see that, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now it's just one of those ones where it's like it's a tongue in cheek movie type thing where you're like,
you go back and watch it, but then you're just like,
you can play drinking games with that movie.
It's my issue is, how is Joey from Friends the badass?
Well, who had what on Gary Oldman at that point in his career
to get him in that movie? He wanted to do it.
The whole.
Do you know? I read that when we watched it, because we watched it a few weeks before we watched the series.
Okay.
So I sit there like, now I will sit there and watch these movies and read the trivia on IMDb. He wanted to do that movie because every movie he had done before that was rated R. He was super violent in them, and he wanted to do a movie that kids could go to.
That
is what he said.
He played the,
and I'm like,
that he played super the violent creepy in. Playing mantis.
Well, right.
That,
and it was funny because I'm like, well, this kind of put him on the path to be Sirius Black, because it's like, if he would have done this movie, he would have never got Sirius Black.
Could have been a Dementor.
Well, right. He would have been a bad guy in the Harry Potter movies. And it was one of those things where there's like weird quirks of stuff that happened on that movie. Like Richard Harris's son plays the older.
Right.
I forget his name.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Really?
Jared Harris.
Jared.
He plays
on
the older son.
And,
Will.
Yeah. He's the older Will.
But
it's not his voice. They totally took his voice out because he was British and he couldn't do an American accent. So they just put somebody's voice in, and I couldn't find anywhere who played that voice. But I was like, that just made it worse.
But see,
then the worst thing was every actor from the original Lost in Space that was alive, except for Jonathan Harris and Bill Mumy, are in that movie in a cameo somewhere. Bill Mumy was supposed to play the older Will Robinson, but the producers went, that might take people out of the movie. I'm like, no, it wouldn't have. I would have been like, that's cool. It's like, that's Will Robinson.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I'm like, that was. And then the terrible CG.
Yeah.
Was that Space Monkey?
Yeah. Well, no, that even Dr.
Yeah, Dr. well, as, yeah. yeah the
well, the
spider
Space
Smith,
Monkey was really
well, he
bad.
Was a spider. I said playing praying mantis.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you go either way.
But yeah, it was bad. I mean, just, and the whole thing with time travel and.
I'm like, the time travel stuff was like done so well.
Yeah.
That it was like, it totally makes sense. But I'm like, the story just makes
the
no
story
sense.
Just, right. That's what it's like, man. Everything up leading. But
I'm like, and the thing was, watching this new version, I'm like, man, they took some of the best stuff out of the original series and the best stuff they could glean from the movie and used it all in this TV series. Because, like, the singularity stuff has to do with the time travel stuff. And I'm like, okay, so we might get something with that in the next season where, you know, they get to Alpha Centauri, but it's 50 years later.
Right.
Or 100 years
later. Yeah,
before.
Like they meet the ancestors of people that they helped escape that planet, and they're all like, they're treated like, you know, celebrities because they helped them.
They meet that.
Like Marine would be like, you know, a statue of Marine would be in the middle of Alpha Centauri Square or whatever. And it's like, that would be totally like a cool idea to do.
That would be neat.
Yeah. But then, you do that where they jump forward, but then they get lost in space again. And, you know, you don't know where they are or when they are. Where type thing. Where? Yeah.
Lost wind space.
I think, you know, on a whole, it was a really good series, though.
Yeah.
And I do hope they do a second season.
Did it get picked up? Did you?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it.
You know, I think it did all right.
Yeah.
I do think there were some bad reviews for some odd reason.
Well, that's what, like I said, I remember when it came out, there were a lot of people on Facebook and stuff.
Because it's just popular to be negative towards
stuff. Well, I get that.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, like the other thing, too, is having, you know, Maureen be the leader and stuff, you could see like, oh, they just switched the, you know, they
well,
let
and
the
that's
girl
what I was gonna
like,
say
it
doesn't it didn't
like
feel
ever.
It didn't feel like forced like it does
no.
in some
right.
stuff
no, this
now
just, it this one just felt natural that, you know, the father was in the military,
yeah,
and you know, and he's got that very, like I said earlier, the shoot first, ask questions yep. later, when she's trying to put logic behind all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, we'll just do this.
Well, literally, like
up.
The part where they see in the computer data that a gun was made.
Yeah.
And the first person she says something to
is, did you do that?
Did you make a gun?
Yeah.
Well, she caught him trying to make something.
Yeah.
Early
that
on.
That it wouldn't let him make. And yeah,
yeah, but I'm like, you know,
he did try to make a gun.
Yeah.
But the computer stopped him because there was protocols involved, which is.
Right.
You know,
and
but then
but as soon
the
as
right,
the gun got
yeah,
made, she's like, did you,
did,
how did you figure
it?
Out
right.
how to do it? And it's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we all agree that we enjoyed this.
Yeah. I did. I mean, for and what it was, I did enjoy it.
I would be very much excited for more.
If a season two came out, I would watch
it.
Definitely. Yeah.
I actually would be in more of a rush to watch it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think I waited like a week or two.
Well,
I waited
over
a month.
I went a while.
So, and I'll say this. This is the first Netflix show that I didn't just binge through.
Right.
Like, I watched
it took
in
me
two,
a while.
I did it in two episode chunks because that's how I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think, like, the first night we turned it on, watched the first episode. I'm like, you know, you good for the next one? She's like, yeah. And it gets to the end of the second one. I'm thinking, like, oh, she might be tired now. And she goes, no, let's watch the third one. And I was like, okay. I'm like, obviously, this is a good enough show then, if, you know.
So there's like 13 Reasons Why season 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I just walked around with my tablet and watched that everywhere I was for 2 days.
Okay.
Until I got done with it.
So I haven't watched it yet.
It was messed up.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, the first season was messed up.
No, I never
saw the first
It makes
second,
the first one look tame.
Oh, okay. Great.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah. It deals with other things.
I'll like, wait until I'm back in work mode.
Yeah.
Coming back from vacation, you know.
Yeah, it's not, you're in a good mood.
Yeah,
still.
I'm just starting to get into the work mode, and I'm like,
but it's like the trial, like because
oh, it
the
actually
book,
goes
in the
with
book,
the
it just ends
yeah.
when the you know the tapes get out.
Sure.
All right, real quick before we you know we're close to an hour, but Solo.
Yeah.
David and I talked about it last week.
Right. Yeah.
We both agreed a 7 out of 10. We both liked it for the most part.
So I gave it an 8, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's
and
what
you
were saying.
Kind of surprised about
well,
that.
Well, I was. Well. You've been so much, I mean, you're really critical of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Sure.
And I was just kind of curious as to why you gave it such a high score.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the last thing you gave a 9 to.
Yeah. And, it was that border of the 8, 9, I think, that it just was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't go in expecting too much, and you got more, I think, than you expected with the story, with Han Solo's origins. I'm like, you know, in the Legends universe, the story of how Han and Chewie met was done well enough. But I'm like, this version of how they met was like cooler.
Yeah.
I think because it's like he was called the monster.
Right.
The and
beast.
I was like, yeah,
yeah
the beast.
They said,
yeah.
The beast.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I went into it. I was one of those people who's like, there's no reason we need a Solo origin.
Right. And I still feel that way, to
because,
be honest.
It was one of those things where I was like, I don't care. And then they're like, well, we're going to have, was it Emilia Clarke play his love interest?
Right. Yeah.
Some woman who we've never heard of. And I'm like, who's this woman?
Yeah.
She's not part of Solo's past.
Right.
I've read all the books, you know, even though those are all null and void now.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Disney. And so it's like, yeah.
You notice,
like,
they're bringing stuff back, though.
Right,
yeah.
And like you said, you know, the whole thing with how Han and Chewie met.
Yep.
You know, I knew that stuff. And I enjoyed the way that they did this one. And but I was like, man, I don't feel like I need a Han Solo story of all these new people.
Right, right, yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm excited for Lando. I'm excited for Chewie and Han. Mm-hmm. I don't care about any other character. But I mean, I took away with that, with where I enjoyed everything from pretty much start to finish. It felt like a Star Wars movie,
yep.
which has always been my biggest mm-hmm. issue with these new sequels, is they don't feel like Star Wars to me.
Well, and it's because Lawrence Kasdan was writing.
And
you know.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. it was just fun, and it was an adventure. It was like, you know, getting into these issues and then, you know, joking him and Chewie just going the back and forth.
Bantering.
This was, I mean, Han and Chewie in this were phenomenal.
Yeah.
The
like,
bantering.
If it would have just been Han and Chewie going around and like without like the other stuff.
Right.
And that being said,
just them hanging
Woody
out.
Harrelson was fantastic
in
this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But. Like the Han and Chewie stuff, like
was so fun.
When he's pushing him down into the mud, and he goes,
"Yeah," and he goes, "Yeah, I speak Wookiee."
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a little rusty.
Yeah,
I liked how like he would say it, and like there would be one word off. Like it'd be like, you know,
right.
We need to get to sandwich, or you know,
yeah.
It was like, you know,
and
that was
no.
That
I mean,
was
I
good.
Loved it, and like you know, the opening scene when they had Donald Glover on screen playing Lando, and like I forget what his first line was,
yeah,
but it was like if my eyes were closed, I would have thought it was Billy D. Williams.
Right.
He did,
yeah,
he did a very
I mean
good
it was
job,
just like so. You know, and it's weird that it's he made it believable that he was like kind of in love with a droid, which was a weird thing because even going into it they were saying that he's gonna have a weird love interest.
Right.
Like I remember reading that,
okay,
and they never explained it was that what L3
this
L3?
Is yeah, L3
yeah.
So this is where my problem lies.
Okay.
Right. With that, not that I care, like because John Kasdan came out and said
Jake.
Came out and said that Lando's pansexual.
That's yeah,
and it's like you know what, you didn't put it in the movie.
Right.
He's not pansexual.
They never
You know, don't JK rallying us here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if he was really in love with that robot, like they kind of wanted us to believe, there's no way Han wins that card game at the end and he hands them the keys to the Falcon.
Right.
Han wins that card game, and Lando pulls out his blaster and shoots Han through the chest.
Yeah.
No questions asked, because it's got the robot he was in love with in there. But that being said, having like L3 and her weird, just weirdness as the Falcon's Navi computer, like, kind of builds on the wow. The ship has a filthy mouth.
Well, that's what I said. It was the payoff of C-3PO saying
it's like the dialect of this ship or something is.
But, and I've seen like a lot of people calling L3 the worst character in Star Wars history. Have you seen this stuff?
No,
saying
really?
that it's
because
you know,
of the revolution
because,
stuff. Or?
Because it's a female voiced robot. It's a revolution. It's social justice warrior stuff. And it's like, all right, you people need to stop.
Yeah,
just stop. Flat out.
Well, I said it totally makes sense because the rebellion is starting pretty much. I mean, this is a few years after the Empire has been integrated, you know.
It's 6 years before Rebels.
Right. Because Rebels was 4 years before A New Hope. This was supposed to take place 10 years before A New Hope.
Right. Yeah. Because Han's supposed to be 10 years older than Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
And that. But the idea... and I was telling you this, the idea that L3 like starts a robot revolution totally makes sense of why the robots were with the rebellion, why all those robots were like hanging out and
but it
you
was
know,
a
doing
total
stuff.
Inadvertent start.
Yeah, like
it's
wasn't
like she went
it wasn't like we're
said,
gonna start a rebellion and we're all gonna fight the Empire. No, it's just those droids were free-willed to the point that like you know you couldn't put a restraining bolt on them and
she
stop
popped
them.
All their restraining
right
bolts.
Yeah
and she had a couple loose wires like her she had a couple crossed wires
right
loose.
Yeah
and you know she got in there, there was a plan, she was gonna follow it, and then she said nah, I'm gonna make some chaos happen.
Yeah.
and you know it's that's what R2-D2 would do.
Well sure.
Yep.
So
but
and
I'm
they,
like
and
it
you
totally
know,
makes
right
sense.
And they even talk about that where it's like that's why droids are reset or you know not reset
right.
but they
free they have the free of the restraining bolts.
Well no that's not what I'm saying like like rebooted, basically, mind wiped.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that because if a droid doesn't get that, they become free will. They become, and that's what, you know, they even made.
With R2. Yeah.
Right. R2 never was. And they even said L3 was the same way, where he's like, I just can't get rid of her nav computer.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's like, if I.
That's the only reason I've not deleted her.
Is because she's like, he's like,
and that's where
no
you're like, he's not in love
like
with her when he says that.
Well,
because it's like the only
it.
Reason
that's
I'm keeping
right.
her around is because she's got the best nav computer in
she
the
knows
universe.
All about like where to go.
Yeah.
The other just issue, and I talked about this last week, but the only other issue I had was the Kessel Run. Like, I wanted the idea of the Kessel Run.
I never wanted to see what it was,
and it was so disappointing in what it turned out to be.
Well, no, but the story is still funny because he didn't do it in 12 parsecs.
He absolutely didn't do it in 12. But
like Chewie even points it out to him. Like,
and he goes, well,
give
if
her,
you
give
round
her
down.
Take, give her
yeah,
take.
You round down.
If you round
yeah.
down. But I would have liked the very end of the movie to be them just like hyperspacing out to do the Kessel Run. And that's where their part of the story ended. But whatever. I mean, it was fine.
I totally would dig a solo trilogy.
That's what I said when the movie ended. I remember walking out thinking, "I'm like, that's the trilogy I want." Not
they have
not
signed
necessarily
all of these people to three movies,
right? But the problem is because
there was no end to this movie.
Right? It was just ended with him and Chewie like, "Let's do it."
But that's
I heard about a job on Tatooine.
That's it. He goes, "I heard about a gangster on Tatooine."
Isn't that enough? Like, we know where he goes from.
Right.
There.
And that's
we don't need
and
to
that's
see
always
it.
Been my issue where, you know, that's kind of what I said about before the movie
show
came
don't
out.
Tell.
There's no reason to give us this movie. Whereas, you know, they announced that there's a Boba Fett movie coming out.
Blech.
Are we going to see Han and Chewie in this Boba Fett movie? Maybe,
I think we should.
Maybe when we all meet this gangster in Tatooine who we all know is Jabba.
See.
Will we see a young, not a younger Fett.
Daniel Logan.
Daniel Logan playing him.
Maybe.
And will they all work, work together?
If they recast that, that is going to be the biggest F-up they've done.
Well,
that'll be a bigger F-up than Last Jedi or anything else. If they don't bring Daniel Logan back, who's played...
Who's now of age to play Boba
who's
Fett.
Out the age to play Boba Fett. Play Boba Fett on Clone Wars.
Right.
Play Boba Fett in the movies.
Yeah.
If you don't bring him back...
I don't want him. Honest to God, if he couldn't act... I mean, that's the thing. He couldn't act in those movies.
But it's like, you know, he's developed.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, even if he has he been acting in anything?
No.
Has he done anything in 20 years?
I mean, I'm sure he's doing
besides voice stuff, right?
No. Like, and if they're going to do Boba Fett,
he's probably done stuff in New Zealand because I'm sure that's where he was from. Yeah.
Maybe. But they need to do stuff like they need to get him out of the Sarlacc pit if that's what they want to
do.
Do
it after that.
And do it after the fact.
Oh, you want him to show up in the last, like, episode 9, is what you're saying? And be like, where's Solo?
No, no, no.
Where's Solo at? And they'll be like, Solo got killed by that guy. And he'd go after Kylo Ren. Yeah.
And then that's how we get Kylo Ren wiped off.
I was going to say, if it kills Kylo Ren, right, maybe. Yeah.
So the only way I'm going to be happy with the sequel trilogy is if all Skywalkers are gone.
They just clear the board?
They have to clear the board at this point. Because
they will.
Because, I'm sorry, this was a really good Star Wars movie that had nothing to do with Jedi or Sith. And Rogue One was
a really good
had nothing to do with Jedi or Sith.
Right, because you're showing the real people, not the Jedis, not the Sith.
Right.
You're showing the real people that live in this galaxy far away.
And to be honest, Force Awakens and The Last Jedi really don't have anything to do with Jedi or Sith.
Right.
Because Kylo Ren is not a Sith.
No. That's why it was called The Last
Jedi.
And
so, you know, it's...
But they shouldn't have killed Luke at the time. They probably didn't think about, Carrie Fisher's going
to
die.
Well, they didn't, obviously. Yeah. But I do think killing Luke gives them the chance to have Luke in two places at one time.
Yeah, maybe.
But, okay, so Darth Maul. The, you know, spiky, redheaded villain in the room. He's working, like, at this point... As far as we know, with canon and the stuff that is current canon, he's working for the Emperor right now.
Right,
With the crime syndicate.
He's on Dathomir, and I think this was the comic book that came out that's canon.
Yes.
Where he's on Dathomir, and he's running Crimson Dawn for the Emperor.
She is not in this comic.
Huh?
The Khaleesi is not in
Kira.
That.
Kira.
Kira is not, the character is
well,
not
yeah,
in
because
that
she
comic.
Wouldn't have been a major character.
So...
She
Here's
was. I mean, in the Crimson Dawn, she wasn't even a major character because Paul Bettany's character was the major player.
Correct. But here's the thing: is she's been now summoned to Dathomir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Han goes into A New Hope, not believing in Jedi and things like that. He's seen a lot.
Yeah.
But he hasn't.
So he'll have no interaction whatsoever.
He
can't. Yeah.
He absolutely. If he does, it like, ruins that might be enough to ruin Star Wars.
Why would he have interaction with Darth Maul?
Well, because Kira is going to go
right.
there.
Right. He'll have interest. No, he'll have the intersection with Kira, but she's the bad guy now. She's the bad guy. For Han, she's
the bad
guy.
But he doesn't. Is he looking at her that way? Like, did
I think
leave?
So at okay. that point, yeah.
At the end of this, Han realized.
Yeah. I didn't feel like he went full.
Well,
like,
it was. It's literally yeah. when he comes up. When Woody Harrelson comes up the hill mm-hmm. and he's standing there. At that point, you're like, he don't trust nobody. It's up to
you
Chewbacca.
Finally listen,
and,
yep.
and let's be
like,
honest.
Chewbacca's the only one that is the most trustworthy person
him
in his
just
life.
Shooting.
Yeah, Beckett. That's it.
No,
Beckett.
But him shooting Beckett like that. Shooting first.
Did he? Did Beckett shoot at him?
No. It had to happen. That yeah. was great.
Well, sure.
Because that was the, you know, that was the, okay, he shot
this
Greedo
is now
first,
how
so,
I'm going to operate
yeah.
from now
yeah.
on. Yeah.
But like I said, I think a 7 out of 10 is a really good score for
yeah,
this
sure.
movie. I didn't have enough problems with it where I was pulled out of anything.
Right.
I definitely want to see it in the theater again.
Yeah.
And judging by the box office, it won't be hard to get a ticket.
No, not at all. So, you might have a private screening.
Maybe. So you're 8, 9.
Yeah.
8.5 just for
yeah, 8.5.
Giggles.
You could say 8.5.
And what would you say?
I mean, I was happy, man. I was 7 or 8. I was grinning ear to ear throughout the entire movie.
Okay.
Just, it felt like a Star Wars movie.
You know, and there were, you know, there were the things thrown, the nods.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the scene when she's like, why do we have these two guys? Why don't we get a real person? Let's call Boss.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Boss.
Yeah.
But that's,
you know?
But that's what's happening.
The Aura Singh line where
yeah.
Beckett's
well,
the one
oh,
who
dude,
killed
scene,
Aura Singh.
When he said he goes, I'm the one who killed Aura Singh. Like, my wife, Sarah, she turned to me and she goes, wait, as in Aura Singh, the bounty hunter? And I'm like,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was
yeah.
cool.
I was like, Aura Singh.
Well,
there?
It's like when Emphas Nest's group was revealed as to who they all
yeah.
were. Two tubes from Rogue One.
From Rogue
there.
One was mm-hmm. the one we said
Warwick
Davis.
Davis's character is the character he played in Episode One on Tatooine.
With, yep.
Yeah. And I'm like,
or he
how
was Willow.
Cool? Yeah, or Willow.
Yeah.
Maybe they were all the same character.
Same guy.
But I'm
he
like, how cool is it that
Wicket before
shaved Wicket,
like he
yeah.
Wicket nice. Hadn't grown his beard yet?
Nice. Yeah.
So no, it was cool like seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Somebody had told me that the girl was supposed to be Mara Jade, and I was just shaking my head no at him.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that was just a Star Wars fan.
I might have got up and walked out if that was the case.
Like, the person, like, they were just like...
That would have ruined
Well, because they were like, well, yeah, because they're building her up as being Mara Jade. And I'm like, A, they never said that.
No.
B, she's starting the rebellion.
She didn't show any
you know,
sign of force
right.
powers. Right.
So I just like, you're just, she's a redhead, so you're assuming that's why.
Right.
So the whole, like, starting the rebellion thing, right? I think this is not her, like, starting the rebellion as a whole. It's just... She's one of many people who are
well,
starting
it's,
to rise.
I mean,
right.
it's explained
and
to
so,
Rebels.
Yeah.
There's different factions. There's
yeah.
different
yep.
areas of the galaxy.
And it wasn't until
and then they
get
finally,
all brought
like,
together.
Yeah, in
and
Rebels, they were all brought
Ezra
together.
Ezra made that speech
yeah.
well, right,
to bring
yeah.
everyone
yeah.
together.
But
yeah,
and like she said, they needed the power, you know,
yeah.
generators or whatever to
They just wanted to go to Tashi Station and get some power converters.
That's right. That's
that
all
so
they ever
everybody,
wanted.
Everybody's going to That's, Tashi Station.
Man, just think if we all went, wouldn't have these movies.
So, Tashi Station is just a small town on Tatooine.
Yeah,
you know,
apparently.
People hanging
Sells
out.
Sells a lot of power converters.
Yeah. they have the
Maybe they have
market.
A power converter factory Ooh. There, and that's why that town's there.
They have yeah. the market cornered on power converters yep. through the Outer Rim.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's a shirt. I'm going to make that shirt.
Yeah. yeah.
So, all right.
Tashi Station.
And it's just like a garage.
Power converter
it's like,
garage.
Just like a
yeah.
garage. That's
yeah.
it. So.
Tashi Station. Power converter capital.
Quartering the market through, or the power converters must flow, something
yeah,
like that.
There you go.
The spice. All right, we're well over an hour, so
good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks
12 minutes is not well over an hour.
Well over an hour.
Well over an hour.
Don't worry, those listeners in Poland stopped long ago.
No, they listened to the
they
whole
listened
episode
all the
they
way
listened
through.
All the way through.
So.
One All of right. these days, I'm actually going to be in Poland like,
and,
for
yeah,
some reason.
Gonna
I'm going to hear, I'm going to hear Infamous Podcast. And I'm going to be like, wait, what? Turn around. Like when I hear my normal name, I'm going to be like, turn around. Like,
wait, that means you would have to take a plane ride somewhere.
I can ride on a plane.
Oh, okay.
I'm not afraid of planes. It's somebody else who's afraid of
Fair
planes.
Enough.
Mr. T.
Remember, my only issues is stuff getting near my eyes with sharp blades.
That's true.
Yeah, well, no one likes that.
It's always been an issue.
That's like my favorite thing.
It's like, oh, I love just taking a knife and just seeing how close I can get.
I went back to work this. I literally went back to work this week, and one of my coworkers got LASIK surgery.
Okay.
And she told me if she got LASIK surgery. And I said, oh, I said, were you awake for the procedure?
You have to be awake.
And she's like, yeah. I'm like, there's no way I would get LASIK surgery. I said they would have to strap me to the chair.
They do strap you to the chair. Yeah, they do. No. And they slice your eye.
Okay, so I've worked at LASIK.
I'm done. I threw up in my mouth.
It's all a laser. And so what it does now is the laser cuts, like, it shoots like little, it perforates like a little square that makes a flap, and the flap opens. Like, it literally, like, the pressure of the eye pops it open. And then the other laser comes in and reshapes the cornea.
I'm done.
And then it closes back up.
Let me tell you something.
It heals naturally.
They strap me on this chair. They're gonna have to really strap me on this chair because I'm breaking the arm of a chair off. Well, and it's, I'm gonna be like Schwarzenegger, Total Recall. You're all dead.
They give you a Valium so you calm down a little bit. Like,
I don't think a Valium is gonna calm me down because I've taken Valium before.
Then
it doesn't do anything.
They do the clockwork orange thing
to your eyes. Yeah, see, you can't blink.
No.
But anyway.
All right.
No. All right. Well, now that we've had a lesson.
Now we're well over an hour.
Thank you.
Why were you here?
Thank you
for
coming.
To promote the Ohio Twin Comics Show July 22nd at the Dayton Fairborn Holiday Inn from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
With special guests.
Special guest, Master Daniel Pacina and the Infamous Podcast.
Yes.
They'll be there.
Come on, what's on Joe Mine?
Sticker bikinis. Yeah, what's on Joe Mine? Show up.
We'll see. I need to get a hold of them, see what's up.
Bring your own stickers. We'll have a bikini sticker contest.
If anything, I'll see those guys in Chattanooga for Joe Con, and we'll have a few drinks. And
yeah, I wish I could have gone to that one.
It's a party. Yeah. It definitely is. It's going to be a sad one, though, with it being the last one.
Will there be a lot of tears?
I don't know if there's going to be tears, but there's going to be a lot of hugging.
Yeah.
Probably. Aww. But just because, I mean, these guys, I mean, we figured it out. I've been going now 8 years.
Okay.
To JoeCon. You know, our first one was 2011 in Orlando, Florida. And the first couple of years is weird because you don't know anyone.
Sure, yeah.
Well, by now, we know everyone.
And
we did this
right.
thing. You know, this is the first year where we were like, well, let's make t-shirts for JoeCon. And at last count, we had pre-ordered, I think we're at 51.
Woo!
People are pre-ordering shirts, and that's multiple shirts. Like, we did three of them.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's insane.
Yeah.
The whole idea of your shirts.
My drinking buddy has a G.I. Joe problem. Is that one of them? Yeah.
That was, one of them was, my drinking friend has a G.I. Joe problem.
Yeah, I like that one.
That was, a buddy of mine made that up last year at JoeCon, and I said, I'm going to put that on a shirt. And I was like, I'll give you one, you know.
Yep.
The Roma customer, and on the back it says, I'm only wearing this shirt to get 20% off at the Roma booth.
Yeah.
Which is true. If you wear that at my booth, I'm giving that guy 20% off. And the other one was the Roma exclusive shirt, because at JoeCon there's all these exclusives.
Sure.
And people go crazy and they sell out, and everyone, you have to get it if it's exclusive. So on the back of that shirt that we did, it said, this shirt is proof I'll buy anything that says it's an exclusive. So, which is true, because it's insane.
That one's only going to be for that show, right?
Well, all three of them are really only for JoeCon. If we have any left over, we'll sell them on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And they're only $10 a piece. So it's not like we're ripping you, you know, just gouging you on it. We're not making really anything on them. It's just I wanted to make the shirt.
Well, sure, yeah.
That was it. It was mainly, it's like, I'm doing this. This is fun.
And then there's the Mary Mercenary shirt, too.
And my wife, Mary Mercenary, she had an incident with another podcaster where I guess he described her costuming as casual and low effort, which if anyone knows Sarah, knows that that is not true.
If you follow her.
Right, follow her and see. Yeah. But this is just...
Her last, like, month of Instagram
the frustration
has been just sanding.
It's like the frustration of cosplaying, I feel.
Yeah. And so it was one of those things where, you know, she initially was hurt by it, but in the end, she's laughing about
it. She's empowered it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like it.
Like I said, it's the Jon Snow and Tyrion speech where it's like, wear it as your armor. You know, don't let it hurt you. Wear it, you know.
Lean into it.
So we made the shirt Mary Mercenary with casual and low effort since 1983, which is the year she was born.
Yep.
So And those, I mean, we've, I think I did about 24 of those. Yeah. People bought them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow,
I mean,
nice.
It's pretty funny.
And then if you are at JoeCon and you do have one of those, make sure to wear the shirt on Sunday.
Sunday, yes. The idea is every time I get rid of one of the shirts, I'm going to tell them to wear it Sunday because I just want the entire floor flooded with Roma Collectible shirts.
Yeah.
I think that'll be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be Roma Collectible Con.
Exactly. That's right. Maybe next year.
Forget JoeCon.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's almost better than GarageCon.
I like Roma Collectible Con.
GarageCon is an exclusive two-person invite list.
That is, yep.
So.
You can bring wives.
Okay. Four hours. Oh, so wait,
I may need a financier.
We take layaway.
Can I get a, can I get a credit line?
His German financier Franz passed away.
Yeah. Hey, come over here. Can I get a credit line? Yeah. Just point at one thing and be like, can I get a credit line on this one?
boy. All right. Well, on that note, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Much appreciated. You're welcome anytime.
Yep.
So I know it takes very
little
twisting of
the arm. I'll be back next
year
this time, so. You know, when it's
next year.
What was it, Aaron season? Or what did
yeah,
we
Aaron
say?
Season.
Aaron season.
Yep.
Well, you'll be back when we record from the show.
We'll figure something
out. Anyway.
Probably be back before that.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, yeah.
Anyway, you welcome back from vacation.
Thanks.
So.
Thanks.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Disney again.
All right. On that note, we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodler, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.